The day had been hot. I had been up the river to the bridgehead at Plava. It was there that the offensive was to begin. It had been impossible to advance on the far side the year before because there was only one road leading down from the pass to the pontoon bridge, and it was under machine gun and shell fire for nearly a mile. It was not wide enough, either, to carry all the transport for an offensive, and the Austrians could make a shambles out of it. But the Italians had crossed and spread out a little way on the far side to hold about a mile and a half on the Austrian side of the river. It was a nasty place, and the Austrians should not have let them hold it. I suppose it was mutual tolerance because the Austrians still kept a bridgehead further down the river. The Austrian trenches were above on the hillside, only a few yards from the Italian lines. There had been a little town, but it was all rubble. There was what was left of a railway station and a smashed permanent bridge that could not be repaired and used because it was in plain sight. I went along the narrow road down toward the river, left the car at the dressing station under the hill, crossed the pontoon bridge, which was protected by a shoulder of the mountain, and went through the trenches in the smashed downtown and along the edge of the slope. Everybody was in the dugouts. There were racks of rockets standing to be touched off to call for help from the artillery or to signal with if the telephone wires were cut. It was quiet, hot, and dirty. I looked across the wire at the Austrian lines. Nobody was in sight. I had a drink with a captain that I knew in one of the dugouts and went back across the bridge. A new wide road was being finished that would go over the mountain and zigzag down to the bridge. When this road was finished, the offensive would start. It came down through the forest in sharp turns. The system was to bring everything down the new road and take the empty trucks, carts, and loaded ambulances and all returning traffic up the old narrow road. The dressing station was on the Austrian side of the river under the edge of the hill, and the stretcher bearers would bring the wounded back across the pontoon bridge. It would be the same when the offensive started. As far as I could make out, the last mile or so of the new road where it started to level out would be able to be shelled steadily by the Austrians. It looked as though it might be a mess. But I found a place where the cars would be sheltered after they passed that last bad-looking bit, and could wait for the wounded to be brought across the pontoon bridge. I would have liked to drive over the new road, but it was not yet finished. It looked wide and well-made with a good grade, and the turns looked very impressive where you could see them through the openings in the forest on the mountainside. The cars would be all right with their good metal-to-metal brakes, and anyway, coming down, they would not be loaded. I drove back up the narrow road. Two carabinieri held the car up. A shell had fallen, and while we waited, three others fell up the road. There were 77s and came with a whishing rush of air, a hard, bright burst and flash, and then gray smoke that blew across the road. The carabinieri waved us to go on. Passing where the shells had landed, I avoided the small, broken places and smelled the high explosive and the smell of blasted clay and stone and freshly shattered flint. I drove back to Gorizia and our villa and, as I said, went to call on Miss Barclay, who was on duty.